We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Chicago Bears select.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, presented by The Bear Report. Your number one source for everything Chicago Bears draft news, analysis, scouting reports, and more. Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, making their way to the podium, Andrew Freeman and Usaid Koshal.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, a Chicago Bears draft podcast presented by The Bear Report and Blue Wire Pods. My name is Andrew Freeman, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Usaid Koshal, recording this episode on April 17th. Usaid, by the time this episode comes out, we're going to be officially 1 week away from the start of the 2024 NFL draft. So I mean, this week, it's all coming down to the wire here. We have a lot in store before we get to the draft. We have our last Bears mock draft for the 2024 NFL draft. We each did different scenarios here for this one. I know we're going to be doing a first-round mock draft for all 32 NFL teams next week, and as well as a draft preview next week. So a lot coming up here. Really excited to get into it because today there's going to be a lot to talk about today for sure.
You're right. There for sure is going to be a lot to talk about between now and next Thursday and then well into the weekend. It's so interesting because you look at it and the conversation over the last couple weeks, I want to say, has really shifted in terms of the Bears. And again, everybody knows what they're going to do at one overall. That's the worst kept secret in the league. But ninth overall, again, we've kind of talked about on this podcast, but it is a total wild card of a pick to the point where we've seen mock drafts by some of the people that are in this Bears media community on Twitter that have them trading down, that have them staying pat at nine, that have them going wide receiver, offensive tackle, edge rusher. And it's kind of the same thing with the national media too. So in short, you know, no one really knows what's going to be going on with the ninth overall pick.
Yeah, nobody knows. And there's, I think it's going to depend a lot on who's available, you know, what positions the Bears want to address here. You know, again, every team does their boards differently. So as much as we want to say that the Bears should be interested in X, Y, Z at a certain spot, like they may view things differently. So it's, there's a variety of ways that this is going to play out here. So, and that's the way it's going to be reflected in today's mock draft episode we have today. So how we're going to handle this is, Usaid and I each did two different scenarios here. Usaid did the scenario where the Bears stay at nine and pick whoever is their best player available at that spot. And I did the scenario where the Bears trade down at nine, get some extra draft picks. And the way this worked out is we both use different mock draft simulators. I use PFF's mock draft simulator. Usaid, which one did you use?
Yeah, I used NFL mock draft databases simulator. And again, you know, the reason that we kind of did that is just to present, you know, a couple different scenarios here in terms of where different simulators have different prospects ranked, just like teams do all the time.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting one to kind of see how this plays out too, because that kind of, depending on the simulator you use, it really changes who's going to be available, especially as you get into like the later rounds, right? Because a lot of these mock draft simulators really have the mid-round picks rated quite differently. I know PFF, they kind of redid their mock draft simulator to kind of reflect the consensus board a little bit more. So they're kind of going off of Arif Hasan's consensus board, which is a great resource, by the way, in terms of comparing. He does a lot of stuff where he takes all the big boards he can find and he kind of condenses them into one consensus big board based off of how the media is viewing things. I found that to be a really good resource when kind of seeing where I'm at with some of these prospects compared to the consensus. It's a really good resource to use for that. So PFF has kind of re-engineered their mock drafts to kind of reflect that a little bit more. So hopefully that makes things a little bit more realistic, but I think it'll make things a lot of fun here as we kind of get into, you know, who's going to be picked where. I'm really excited to get into it. So like I said before, we both did two different sort of scenarios here that the Bears could do at number 9 overall. Obviously, I think we both know that everyone knows they're going to be taking Caleb Williams at number 1 overall. We don't have to spend too much time on that, I think. But just a couple of ground rules we had for our mock drafts. Outside of any trades made in the first round, you're only allowed to make 3 trades in total. And the reason why we chose 3 is because Ryan Poles has been, you know, very trade happy in the past. He had a flurry of moves in his first draft. And then in last year's draft, I think he made 2 or 3 trades in that draft as well. He traded down for the Darnell Wright pick, obviously trading down from number 1 overall, although that was not on draft night, trading up for Tyreek Stevenson in the draft in the second round. I forget if he made a draft day trade on day 3. I could be wrong, but if you're counting the number 1 overall pick trade, that's 3 trades right there. He made a bunch of trades on day 3 of the draft in his first draft, including, you know, moving some future picks into that draft to get some extra draft capital. So Ryan Poles has proven many times in the past that he's willing to wheel and deal and make a bunch of moves in order to get draft capital and go get guys that he thinks can be contributors on his football team. So that's kind of the parameters that we're working off of for this mock draft. So you said, I'm going to start with you. Your mock draft here, take me through what you did. And he's going to bring it up on the screen right here real quick for those who are watching on YouTube. But Zed, take me through your mock draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I get this pulled up, you know, you mentioned Ryan Poles actually wheeling and dealing on draft day. But let's not forget this other kind of part of the trades here where he actually went ahead, you know, and again, he traded a second round pick for Chase Claypool. He traded a second round pick for Montez Sweat. So he's really been no stranger to even trading for picks that he doesn't know where they're going to fall on the board yet, even if it means a quick veteran swap. But, you know, you get into this kind of mock draft here. And again, I had the scenario where just a couple ground rules here. So the Bears have 4 picks. They've got 1, 9, 75 and 122. And so through a couple of trades, I was able to net the Bears about 7 total draft picks. Now, what makes this whole thing so interesting? And by the way, if you see me looking at an angle, it's because I've got my side screen here. But again, you know, number 1 overall, I don't think we need any major explanation for this. You've got the Bears taking Caleb Williams. Like I said, the worst kept secret in the league. And then number 9, you know, it's interesting because I tweeted out today, I said, what is your Bears big board at 9? And that's not just your consensus big board, but I said in terms of like the prospects you really want, but a realistic big board in terms of who do you think is actually gonna go ahead and be there. And so I said it would be Rome Odunze for me with the 9th overall pick. I think you start to look at this Shane Waldron offense and you kind of get an idea of, you know, the types of players that this offense has traditionally catered to in the past. I mean, this is an offense where, let's be real about it, it's not, well, it is cut from the same cloth as the Matt LaFleur offense, as the Kyle Shanahan and the Sean McVay offense. Really, I think what we're going to see under Shane Waldron is more of a hybrid between what the Seahawks and Rams were running compared to, you know, the 49ers, just because a lot of the personnel pieces that the Bears have in place, but also the skill set. But I think, you know, you come out, you land a big guy like a Rome Odunze, he effectively becomes your DK Metcalf in this offense. Again, just a big bodied guy who can get up and go make those tough contested catches. You know, he's really going to force linebackers, safeties, and defensive backs to have to account for him in the middle of the field. And that is also going to go ahead and open up opportunities for guys such as DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And then just not to mention the size component as well that exists for him. And then my first trade you look at, again, the Bears in the original mock drafts, in the original draft, don't have a pick from 9 to 75. And so, again, the thought process there was just, hey, you know, how do you bridge the gap between 9 and 75? Well, if you can't do that, then you surely look to trade down from 75, because the way that the board fell, I just wasn't necessarily, you know, enamored with any of the prospects that were there. So I actually have the Bears trading with Houston. Again, here, you know, Houston gets 75. The Bears pick up 86, 127, and 189 now. I know some people are going to say, okay, well, that's a steep price to move up 11 spots. But if you really look at this draft, the real meat of this draft is in rounds 2 and 3. And so this is where, you know, to me, the 75th overall pick is really valuable, because if I'm going to be honest, right, there's teams like Cincinnati, for example, there's teams that have all this extra draft capital that will quite frankly want to trade up, right? And again, you know, they're going to want to trade up with the Bears, who are probably going to want to trade back, because there's no way that Ryan Poles is done after the 122nd pick. And let me just say, you know, there's three AFC teams right now that are swimming in draft capital that want to eventually catch up to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And to do that, you need to add more playmakers. I mean, that's Houston, that's Cincinnati, and that is the Buffalo Bills. So I went with Houston's offer here. You know, again, I get 86, 127, and 189. So again, you just get some extra draft capital back. And then with 86th overall, I decided to go ahead and address the edge position, bringing in, you know, Braylon Trice, kind of a guy that's been a semi-draft crush of mine. You know, he was supposed to be much highly rated this year, but he didn't have the breakout season a lot of people anticipated. But he can still be a really solid number two edge rusher. Again, a guy that you can bring in to, you know, take reps away from someone such as DeMarcus Walker, but then also really go ahead and push a guy that hasn't panned out in Dominique Robinson. Now, you get to 122nd overall, and, you know, Christian Mahogany's a guy that interior offensive lineman from Boston College that I've had my eye on. I think that you look at Mahogany's ACL injury, and from 2022, by the way, and you're like, okay, you know, he was on track in 2020 and 2021 towards becoming one of the top interior offensive linemen in the nation. Obviously, the brutal ACL injury really set him back, but he came out and played really well this year for Boston College this past season, starting, I think it was, you know, 12 or 13 games in the process. I just think this is a guy who's a solid pass protector, but also really fits the Shane Waldron scheme, because he is that kind of mauler in the run game and a guy that can kind of get out into space. And so just a guy there that, you know, again, you don't need him to start right away because you have Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis on the roster, but a guy that you can sit afford to sit on the bench, afford to have him marinate, you know, behind a couple solid veterans and potentially even take over next year. Now, again, 127 here is the first of the three picks that I got from the Houston, or I'm sorry, is the second of the three picks that I got from the Houston Texans. And there, you know, I think that the Bears finally go ahead and they finally add some edge rusher depth, but also some defensive line depth. And that to me is a guy that, you know, considering the state of this defensive line class, I don't think that Justin Ebo Igbe, the defensive lineman from Alabama, is getting as much attention as he should. You know, if you go back and you listen to the podcast that I did back in March with, you know, Joe Gaither, a good friend of mine who covers the Alabama Crimson Tide, you know, one of the big things he said was, hey, if you're the Bears, there's three Alabama defenders that should be on your radar, and that's Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell as your two edge rushers, but then your interior guy, Justin Ebo Igbe, again, a guy that has a lot of size to him, can play either that one or three technique in the Matty Eberflus defense, is going to be a pretty solid one gap stuffer in terms of being able to go ahead and just clog up the run. And then also just a guy who, you know, still has some room to grow. So it's interesting because at this 127 spot, I had a choice between Igbo Igby and Michael Hall Jr. And to be fully honest, I went with the Alabama kid just because I felt like in terms of the size and the athleticism, he's a bit of a better fit for what the Bears are trying to do. And then you get to my second trade, which is, you know, I, again, got the 100th, 89th pick from Houston, and then I traded that to the LA Rams for picks 196 and 209. So, you know, a couple six-round picks there. And, you know, the first of my six-round picks was Keaton Oladapo. Again, what the Bears do is, yeah, they got Jaquan Brisker. Yes, they have Kevin Byard. But you can't really rely on Elijah Hicks. Ryan Poles has shown us that he clearly covets the safety position and that he wants to go ahead and add, you know, another young body to compete with Elijah Hicks. And so I think they go with a hard-hitting physical safety in Keaton Oladapo. Again, a guy who can alternate between playing, you know, one high or even two high. Just a guy in general who I think fits the Matt Eberflus defense because he can kind of play strong safety and he can step in to play the role of Jaquan Brisker at times, which in this defense allows the Bears to go from, you know, nickel to dime packages very easily and have a safety blitzing off the edge. And then, you know, in round six, the 209th overall pick, I actually go with wide receiver Jaquan Jackson from Tulane. I think you look at him and he's easily one of the more underrated wide receivers in this class. Again, it's such a deep draft class that you don't really even see Jaquan Jackson's name mentioned at all. But I think, you know, you start to look at him and you look at a lot of his intangibles and, you know, just what he brings to the table. And again, you know, foundational level, you're getting a guy who's going to compete with someone like a Velus Jones or a Tyler Scott. But Jaquan Jackson, you know, he's much smaller. He's about 5'9", 190 pounds. But again, you know, he's got the versatility there to operate from the slot. He is also a yards after the catch threat. His strength is kind of average and he's a solid route runner, but you know, he's again still a guy that has a lot of room to grow. Now the one thing I will say is this, is that he's going to be a really good special teams player, but he will also be a guy that is going to go ahead and just absolutely blow defenders off the line of scrimmage with his speed. And so you look at him overall and you kind of say, okay, you know, the 4.240 yard dash that he ran, again, not, you know, the fastest guy in this draft class, but not exactly the slowest guy either. And really a guy that can afford to hang out and on the bench for a year and grow into his role.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think there is a, I think with this scenario here, there's a lot to like. Obviously, you start at the top of the draft. Roma Dunze at number 9 overall. I mean, that's the dream scenario, I think, if you're the Bears and you're looking to get that young wide receiver to build, you know, around DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and continue to add to the weaponry around Caleb Williams. Like, he is the prototypical pick that if you're going to stay at nine, he's the guy you're hoping is there, right? Obviously, like, you'd hope that a Malik Nabers would drop there, who I have a little bit rated a little bit higher. But if he's not there, like Romo Dunze, he's one of the big three in this draft class, right, at wide receiver. So if he's there, I think he fits perfectly with Keenan Allen. I think he fits perfectly with DJ Moore. He can be that true outside X receiver for you in this offense. And that gives you a ton of options here, I think, in the passing game for Caleb Williams to throw the ball to. You have your yak guy in DJ Moore, who can be a threat at all three levels. You have Keenan Allen in the slot. It could be that possession wide receiver, that route runner for you who just gets open. And then Romo Dunze, you're running the vertical route tree. He's a guy who can win contested catches at a very high level, knows how to create subtle separation on the outside. So, yeah, that's you get Caleb Williams, you get him a number one caliber wide receiver, another number one caliber wide receiver to throw to. That offense is cooking with grease right there. Go down board. I love the trade down in the third round. I mean, if you're going to get some extra draft picks, I mean, that's the place where you're going to have to trade down, right? And the third round, it's a weird area in this draft. I found in my mock drafts where there is a lot of talent that I like but don't necessarily love all the time. So I have to find that trading down the third round, if I'm not trading out of that first round pick, it's probably the best case scenario if you're going to get some extra draft capital. And it's not really a deep draft once you get past like the fourth or fifth round, right? And you can say that for a lot of drafts, but specifically for this draft, it's not the deepest class, right? So Braylon Trice going back to back with Washington picks right there. Trice is a very interesting player because he was somebody who was always kind of dubbed as a first round prospect, like you said, but just didn't really have, I think, the measurables that a lot of people are looking for at the position, which is going to be interesting to see if the Bears do really view him as, you know, a fit for them, because they do value, you know, athletic big guys. And Braylon Trice came up a little bit smaller than I think. He was kind of got his below average arm length. So he's an interesting prospect, but in the third round, I think that's tremendous value because he was so productive at Washington. He was a guy who was getting regularly 50, 60 pressures in a season at Washington off the edge. So just insanely productive in his college career. Christian Mahogany is very interesting because I feel like, and I wonder if this is like the motivation for the Bears as well, like, Nate Davis, they're going to have to make a decision on him next year, whether they're going to keep him on the last year of his deal. And then Tevin Jenkins is a free agent next year as well. So Mahogany is great insurance, I think, for either one of those guys. He played right guard in college primarily. And Ryan Poles did go to Boston College. So there is that connection there. I think he's a great find in terms of if you want to get that developmental guard who can eventually replace one of those two. Justin Ebwuigbe, I think he's a very Flusian player because he can play all over the line. He's a great run defender, not much of a pass rusher, but Eberflus has tended not to really care much for that in his tenure here for whatever reason. Maybe I'm just being too critical there, but yeah, I believe he's very interesting because, like, you look at his profile, he's like 6'5", 297 pounds, pretty decent length, elite run defender in college. And, I mean, he played anywhere from, you know, as a one tech in Alabama's defense to outside linebacker in their defense. Like, he played everywhere on that defensive line. So he's a guy that you just plug him in anywhere, and he's going to defend the run at a very high level. He's going to play physical. He's going to anchor. He's going to two gap. He's going to do all those things that you want to see to establish line of scrimmage. Kadano Odapo, this is not a great safety class, but I think if you're going to bet on a guy, he's got height, he's got weight, he's got speed. You know, he's somebody who wants to hit people. Bet on him. And I really like the value of Jaquan Jackson in the sixth round as well. He kind of adds a punt return element as well. He's more of a slot receiver. I love double dipping at wide receiver in this draft because it is such a strong draft class. Now, you say in your mock draft, was there a move that you were considering making, whether it was trading up the board for a player or maybe a player at a certain pick where you were considering instead of a certain pick you made? How would that have changed your strategy at all in this?
You know, it's kind of tough to say because you get to that ninth overall pick and I'm like, okay, you know, I could add a pass rusher here, but you know, me personally, I just think that if one of the three were to fall in terms of Udunze Neighbors, Marvin Harrison Jr., then you come running to the podium for one of those guys. And at that point, you know, pass rusher just takes a back seat because, again, you're trying to, in the shoes of Ryan Poles, you're trying to stack this offense with as much talent as you can. But, you know, getting back to your question here, let's just say I don't go with Rome Udunze at ninth overall. Well, then I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, I would probably take a Jared Verse or Dallas Turner. And then, you know, at 75, I go ahead and I trade down. I still trade down to, you know, somewhere in the mid to late 80s. But then what happens is I'm not taking a guy like Braylon Trice. I am probably not double dipping with on the D line with a guy like Justin Ego Igbe. And maybe I don't take Christian Mahogany at 122nd. And what I instead do is say, hey, you know what? With that third pick for me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to address, find a wide receiver there. You know, I will go ahead and I will figure out, hey, can I get, you know, maybe take two receivers back to back even, or maybe even, you know, a tight end like a Theo Johnson, who, again, I just published a scouting report on. He's a guy that's insanely athletic. But I will also say this, you know, if you're the Bears, staying at nine also works in your favor. Because like I said, number one, there's going to be tons of teams that want to trade up for a impact playmaker. But then also number two, you still get the impact playmaker that you may want on either offense or defense. But then the third thing is also this, is the deep enough, you know, interior and wide receiver class to the point where you're going to find solid players that have pretty good ceilings on day two as well as day three.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how these scenarios play out, right? Where what you do at the top of the draft really does impact, you know, the rest of the draft in terms of how you approach things. And as much as like Ryan Poles is going to say that he's going to go best player available, like, I'm sorry, like you don't truly go best player available on your board. You take the best player that fits the need based off the value. You're really just going for the best value, I think is the best way to put it. So who fits the best value in terms of best player on the board plus position of need plus positional value, you're kind of, it's the intersection of all those kind of ideas, right? And you also got to think of the financial aspects as well and the roster construction down the line. So there's a lot of factors to consider when making these selections. I've always found this like interesting, you know, with Ryan Poles' strategy, it seems like he wants to address, you know, these valuable positions high in the drafts and then focus on maybe some of those other positions like running back or tight end or interior offensive line later on the draft where, you know, you're not spending as much high priority resources, but can find solid players later on. So I think it's gonna be interesting to compare it to mine because I did take a very different approach. So I'm gonna get my mock draft here on the screen. And so this is what I have for those watching on YouTube. The rundown from how PFF graded my draft. They gave me an A-. I think that was very nice of them. But number one overall, yeah, Caleb Williams for me, I mean, we don't have to touch on it too much. Like he's, like you said, he is the top quarterback here. It's the worst kept secret in the NFL that he's going to be the guy for the Bears. And just a no-brainer selection. And after, especially after trading Justin Fields, we talked about it on the roundtable discussion with Zach and Aaron, that once you make that decision and you're, you know, committing as an organization, he's your guy. He's one of the best quarterback prospects to come along in years. And You know, Bears fans should be ecstatic. I know, like, there's still a contingent out there that is like doing everything they can to not be excited over this. But you should be very excited to have Caleb Williams as your next quarterback, and hopefully good things are to come there. But moving on to number nine, right? So I did the scenario where I'm trading down here at number nine. I am not sticking there. I think there is a scenario where the Bears do trade down, even if there is a Roma Dunze on the board for them or a weapon on the board that they really like, because I do think Ryan Poles, I think he does want to get some extra draft capital for this year's draft, just to fill some other needs. You know, they've left the defensive line absolutely barren in terms of addressing this position, and there are needs all over the defensive line, in my opinion. So I decided to trade down here, number nine overall, with the New Orleans Saints at 14th overall. And the Saints, you know, they're a team that's in a desperate situation where they desperately need tackle help. And I think there's going to be a run on tackles in the middle of the first round. And I think the Saints are going to be wanting to get their guy here. And they have a history, and they have a track record under Mickey Loomis of trading up in the first round to get their guy. So I moved down here, swapping their second round pick at 45 with the Bears' third round pick at 75. And then getting a fifth round pick from the Saints at 175 as well. And I'm using the Jimmy Johnson draft chart to kind of even out the math there in terms of draft pick value. It was a little bit of an overpay for the Saints, but I think if you're the Bears, you're saying, look, if you want to get an elite prospect here, whether it's Olu Fashanu, whether it's a Roma Dunze, whether it's a pass rusher here, and get us to move outside of the top 10, we have a lot of suitors for this pick. You got to pay extra a little bit. And I think, you know, a team like the Saints are going to be willing to do that. You know, they have like 4 fifth round picks this year. So I think they'll be willing to part with one of them to make that move. It's not a deep draft. So for the Bears, you get an extra fifth round pick in this year's draft. You move your third round pick to a second round pick. And with that first round pick at 14 overall, I'm taking defensive lineman Byron Murphy out of Texas. And I think a lot of Bears fans are going to be surprised by that. And they're going to say, well, why wouldn't you take an edge rusher, right? Because you have Laiatu Latu, who's on the board for me. Jared Verse was on the board for me. Look, it's simple for me. Like Byron Murphy, if you're going to stress best player available, Byron Murphy is the best player available, I think. I think there's an argument to be made that he is the best defensive player in this draft. It would be Latu for me if it weren't for the injury concerns that I do have for him. And that kind of bumped him down the board for me when I made this decision. Jared Verse, I think I like him better as a later first round pick. I think he's a good fit for what this defense wants to do, but I don't see the upside that a Byron Murphy has. A guy is going to be 21 years old, you know, going into next year. Really just can't. He broke out this past year at Texas, was a good player beforehand, but, you know, he is that quintessential three tech that you're looking for in this scheme. That Matt Eberflus has preached that they need to get that three tech ever since he took over the job here. Yes, they invested a second and third round pick in defensive tackles last year with Dexter and Zach Pickens. But one, I think Dexter can play all over the defensive line. You know, I think he can play one tech in base downs. I think he can play some edge rusher in certain passing looks when they're going to nickel and they're trying to, you know, mix things up for opposing offenses. And Byron Murphy can just be that gap-destroying three-tech that penetrates to the backfield. He's got really good anchor in the run game, despite the fact that he is an undersized defensive tackle. I'm not going to say he's Aaron Donald. I'm not saying that. But it's very Aaron Donald-esque in terms of maximizing the size and strength that he does have, you know, to not get pushed around in the run game. He does a really good job of anchoring. He actually played a lot of nose tackle for Texas last year, taking on double teams. And he was fantastic at it. So he is a player who's great against the run. He's an ascending pass rusher. He has got great first step explosiveness, great pad level, good ability to bend around the edges of guards and centers. Not a lot of guards and centers can handle his first step explosiveness and prevents him from turning the corner. He's got a power rush, bull rush to his game to kind of complement that speed rush. And he's got to add some more moves to his repertoire, but you look at him in games against like Washington in the college football playoff. I mean, just unblockable in that game, constantly putting pressure on quarterbacks. I think he's got all pro ceiling, and to get him at number 14 overall, I think that's a tremendous value. It's a little bit too rich for me to take one of these wide receivers like a Brian Thomas Jr. or an A.D. Mitchell or a Ladd McConkey. So to me, I take Byron Murphy, address defensive line, and now my interior pass rush is set moving forward. Going on to the second round, you know, there were some different options I was considering. You know, Keon Coleman was on the board for me at wide receiver. He was probably the top rated receiver for me. Honestly, I'm not a huge Keon Coleman fan for the Bears. I just don't think he separates at a high enough level. And I felt like I could get better value at wide receiver later on in the draft. There were still a ton of wide receivers I liked on the board that I felt I could get in the third round if I could somehow trade into that pick, which I ended up doing, just spoiler alert. But I'm also looking at this and I'm like, look, I need to address the edge rusher position. There aren't a lot of guys past round two that I think fit the mold that Eberflus and Ryan Poles are looking for here. And so I went with Marshawn Nealon out of Western Michigan, who is an ascending player. If you're, you know, reading the tea leaves here, there's a lot of talk about him possibly sneaking into the first round. I don't think that happens, but I think he can certainly sneak into the top 50 here. And to get him here, Marshawn Nealon, just prototypical what you're looking for. You know, he's a big guy, you know, about 260 pounds as an edge rusher. 34-inch arms, tested phenomenally at the combine in terms of explosiveness, in terms of his 40-yard dash, had a very high RAS score. The agility scores were very good for him, which is surprising because his tape doesn't actually show a guy that can bend around the edge very well. But what stands out about him is that he plays with a lot of high effort. He's got great speed to power ability. He's versatile on the defensive line, extremely good run stopper, defends the run very well, really hard to move in the run game. And he just plays with a nonstop motor. And I think this coaching staff is going to really appreciate that. I think this front office is going to see the upside that he has with his athletic tools. And he's a guy that might take a year or two to really develop and come to into his own as a pass rusher. But from day one, you're getting a really strong run defender, a guy who can complement Montez Sweat on the other side. And, you know, will he be an all-pro pass rusher one day? I don't think so. But if I'm thinking about this, like, in terms of value, like, I would rather have Marshawn Nealon in the second round than Jared Verse at 9 or even 14 overall, if that makes sense. I don't think the difference between the two players is that steep to where, you know, I want to make that pick earlier on the draft with Verse and pass up on talent that's, you know, higher on my board, if that makes sense. So Marshawn Nealon, a very interesting player for me. Now you've addressed your defensive line need, right? So you've gotten your three tech. You've gotten an edge rusher to kind of add to that pass rush. Moving on to the draft here, I decided to make kind of a bold move here. I traded the Bears' future second-round pick in 2025 to move back into the third round with the Arizona Cardinals at 71 to draft wide receiver Johnny Wilson. Now, addressing the trade first, look, the Bears have two second-round picks in 2025 as of right now with the Carolina Panthers' second-round pick. I figured, if you're the Bears here, that, look, you have the insurance of already having the extra second-round pick. Ryan Poles has shown in the past that he's willing to wheel and deal those second-round picks in order to acquire players. You know, why not use that second-round pick to get a pick this year and to get an extra contributor for you and get him on the roster right away? I assume the Carolina Panthers are going to be bad against next year. So you're probably going to have a high second round pick with them. So let's give him another weapon for Caleb Williams here. And Johnny Wilson, man, he is a tantalizing prospect. 6'7", nearly 240 pounds, ran a 4.5 40, moves exceptionally well for a guy at that size, runs pretty solid routes, knows how to create subtle separation. And the wingspan, 35-inch arms, just the catch radius that he has, the ability to make contested catches. He brings so much to the table as a true X wide receiver. He's a great blocker in the run game. I think he's everything that this coaching staff is looking for in terms of that third wide receiver, because DJ Moore, again, like I said, he's more of that three-threat yak guy in the offense. Keenan Allen, he's more of a slot possession route runner type of guy. You need someone who adds size to that receiving room, someone who can be that red zone threat, that go ball guy, that contested catch guy on the boundary. Johnny Wilson fits that role. I think he's got a really high upside compared to when you look at the physical tools that he has. Just a very unique player you don't see very often. Unique ability to move at the size that he has. I think with better quarterback play going here to with Caleb Williams, that he could be even better than he was in college. The guy is extremely efficient at converting his receptions into first downs. He's just a chain mover in the passing game. He's going to have to clean up the drops a little bit. He's going to have to, I think, be a little bit more consistent in terms of the way that he gets off press and the way that he's able to adjust to the ball in the air on some of those contested catch opportunities. I know he didn't have the best quarterback play, which definitely affects that a little bit. But, I mean, again, he's a rare specimen, I think. And now you've addressed wide receiver going on to day three with the fourth round pick. You know, I decided to address the offensive line, getting Tanner Bortolini out of Wisconsin. He's a center prospect, like elite athleticism at the offensive line position. NFL.com has him as a 99th percentile athlete, according to the way that he's tracked on the field. So he moves exceptionally well for kind of an undersized offensive lineman. I think he's perfect for Shane Waldron's offense as a wide zone, outside zone center. Get him on the move, get him in space. That's really where he's at his best, I think. He's played some guard at Wisconsin, but I think he's probably more of a center-only guy in the NFL because he's got shorter 31-inch arms. But I really like his fit in this offense. I think the Bears still want to address that center position. It's a deep center draft. And getting him in the fourth round, I think, is exceptional value. You don't have to play him right away, but he can back up Ryan Bates and eventually be the successor to that center position for you while you still have questions at guard with Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis in the sixth round. So as part of my trade with the Saints, I got that fifth round pick, like I mentioned. I decided to trade back one more time, getting 196 and 209 from the Los Angeles Rams. With those two picks, I got tight end Tip Raymond out of Illinois and tackle Josiah Ezerine from Eastern Kentucky. Raymond, another just athletic freak coming out of Illinois, one of the biggest tight ends in this draft class, tested exceptionally well, really underutilized in the passing game at Illinois, which is kind of to be expected, with that program being where they're at. But I think he's got the tools to be a really good inline blocker in the NFL. He's got good yards after the catch potential, I think, as a receiver. You get him in this rotation at this tight end position where he doesn't have to play a lot right away, but he can develop behind Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. He can be that extra blocker for them on three tight end sets, be a guy who gets the ball underneath on the check down and gets yards after the catch. I really like his fit there as a complementary piece. And then the sixth round, 209, Josiah Ezerine, a developmental tackle, another very athletic guy, 35-inch arms. I think he's about 6'6", 320 pounds. He's got interesting tools, interesting traits. There's just a lot of work there. Playing at a small school, lower-level competition, it's probably going to take him a little bit to kind of develop, but you need to get someone in there that can develop as a potential swing tackle for you. So you're kind of taking a swing there on the offensive line. And yeah, that is my mock draft for my trade down scenario here.
Yeah, I just think you start to look at this thing, and again, there's a lot of really good things to like, but also, I think one or two questions that have to ultimately be addressed. And you look at number one overall, we kind of know what the Bears are going to do there. When you can go in and within, the top 50 picks, you can pretty much get a guy like a Byron Murphy and then a very, I think, high upside guy in Marshawn Nealon. At least that's the vibe that I got from him, watching him and writing up the scouting report on him. Those are three really solid picks right there. And then, you talk about that trade with the New Orleans Saints here. I mean, let's be honest, the Saints are in this incredibly weird spot, right? And again, they're in this weird spot because you're sitting there, you're picking at 14th overall. They are still run by Mickey Loomis. They've got Derek Carr and Dennis Allen, but the core of Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas just continues to get older. Those days are long gone. Yes, Cam Jordan is still there, but ultimately I think, the Saints are one of the most intriguing teams to watch on draft night, because if a guy like a Joe Alt or Olufoshanu starts to slip, well, I could certainly see them going with one of those two, because we know that the Saints just love their high-priced, really nice offensive linemen. And then you also look at that trade with the Arizona Cardinals. I look at that and I kind of say, okay, which second round pick are you giving up? Because it's a legit debate that needs to be had. Are you giving up your own second round pick, which a lot of teams are going to look at on paper and going to say, hey, we think this is going to be a lower second round pick in terms of being back end close to round three? Or are you giving up the Carolina second rounder, which is expected to, again, be, you know, a high second round pick on paper? And so that right there is just something to look at. And again, you look at the Johnny Wilson, for me, is also, I think, this playmaker to go ahead and watch, you know, a guy that can go ahead and, again, you know, all the attention for the FSU receivers this year goes to Keon Coleman. But I think Johnny Wilson actually has a chance to be better, because to me, Johnny's more of a pure wide receiver compared to what you're getting with a guy like Keon Coleman. But you look at, you know, Tanner Bordolini and Tip Reman, the center from Wisconsin, the tight end from Illinois. I think ultimately what you're getting from there is this, is you are basically getting two prospects that have quite frankly slipped through the cracks a bit in draft class. Two guys that you don't need them to come in right away and be these kind of instant contributors, but guys that can go ahead and, you know, potentially just marinate and become future starters, let's just say 1 or 2 years down the line. And then Ezrim from Eastern Kentucky, Josiah Ezrim, the tackle. Again, you know, you're just going with some tackle depth there to back up Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones. So, you know, I think this is a really good haul for the Bears, because what you are effectively getting is you're addressing all your major needs. You are addressing depth in areas where over the last couple of years, and I also think the last couple of coaching staffs, you really have not had that much depth to begin with. And then you're also in the later parts of the draft just kind of adding some talent to the roster that, quite frankly, when we're sitting here in 2025 and we're evaluating this team, I mean, I don't know what specific needs Chicago's going to have that are going to make you go ahead and go, okay, you know, we for sure need to have this guy on the roster, and he for sure has to be our draft pick. So this just overall, you know, kind of like mine, a bit of a different approach, but just still a very well-rounded haul that the Bears end up getting.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of this, is that we did both take really different approaches to this mock draft, and still coming away, I think both of us feeling pretty good about what the Bears can get at. So I think it shows just the range of outcomes for the Bears, that there is a lot to like in terms of what they can do in this year's draft. I mean, for instance, like for this scenario specifically, like trading that extra second round pick, you know, for a pick this year, you know, I'm not sure if that's something that Ryan Poles will consider doing, because, you know, his MO in the past has been to trade down to accumulate draft picks and not necessarily, you know, spend value that way, you know, but who knows, maybe he's more aggressive now that he feels like he has his quarterback here, and, you know, he's going to start making moves to be more aggressive to get him some help and to get this roster, you know, going in a direction to where they can not only make the playoffs next year, but be contenders in a year or two down the line. You know, there are a variety of different directions to take. I think with day three of any draft, you're not necessarily looking for guys who will contribute right away, but guys who can fill up the depth chart, guys who can be future contributors, who's going to contribute on special teams. Like, you know, if I'm looking at kind of self-evaluating my draft a little bit, I would say that, like, I was looking for potentially a guy who can be more of that punt returner wide receiver, that slot receiver depth in this draft on day three. I couldn't quite find the value for that pick. There were some, you know, again, with Raymond and Ezrin specifically, those are guys that I just felt like were better values at those selections. So I went with those picks there. The second round thing was really tough for me, because I really was considering wide receiver at that spot. I think the Bears are really going to consider wide receiver there as well if they don't take one in the first round. It's a tough dilemma, because, like I said, wide receiver is a pretty big need in terms of depth, and getting, you know, the future locked down with a wide receiver to develop behind Keenan Allen. But edge is also like a very big need as well. And there's not a lot of edge rushers in this year's draft. There just isn't. The depth is not there as much, right? So you're kind of, you know, banking on, is it a little bit of an overdraft for Nealon? Maybe. It might be the case. I kind of have him valued as a borderline second, third round guy. So that might be a discussion that these teams are having, you know, when it comes to these positions, right? Because if you don't feel confident you can get a guy later on in the draft, that determines who you're going to pick earlier in the draft. And I felt it the same way with the edge rusher wide receiver dilemma. Like, I feel like I can get a Johnny Wilson, or, you know, a couple of guys were available at that pick. Javon Baker was there. Malachi Corley was available at that pick. I believe Jalen Polk was available at that pick for me. You know, there were a lot of wide receivers on the board that I was still interested in. So ultimately, like, it's a deep wide receiver draft. And I wonder if Ryan Poles is going to view things the same way. But anyway, that's going to do it for our mock drafts here. It was a lot of fun. I think what we're going to do is, when we eventually get this episode out, is that we're going to have you guys vote on Twitter for our mock drafts to see which one you guys prefer, which is always fun when we do mock drafts on the pod here, is we always try to get Bears fans to vote on it, to share their thoughts on it, and to see where we're feeling with what we do here. I am ready for, in our mentions here, for Bears fans to absolutely roast me for my draft. I'm curious to see how this all works out. But you say, before we get going here, anything else you want to add in terms of mock drafts and just where we're at?
Yeah, I would definitely say this. It's really interesting when you start to look at a lot of these Bears mock drafts, because, you know, again, you and I, this is, I believe, like the 208th episode that we've done together. And so the reality is that we've kind of done this over 3 to 4 years. And so we always love to really focus on what the Bears are going to do when it comes to day 2 and 3. And what's so interesting this year is that we haven't had a lot of talk regarding what is this team going to do on day 3. On late day 2 and throughout day 3. And again, part of it is because, you know, you only have 4 picks right now. The other half of it is this, is, you know, when you do have 2 top 10 picks, it tends to take away from a lot of the other attention. But I will say this, even though, you know, there's a lot of national media people out there saying, hey, this draft really falls off after the 3rd round, there is still a justification to be made that if you are a front office and your college scouting staff and you're just a pro scout staff, if you do your homework correctly, then a guy like a Keaton Oladipo or a Jaquan Jackson, guys like that, they are certainly going to be ones that could end up being diamonds in the rough. And that's because 50% of it is you doing your homework on them as a team. The other 50%, I think, is your coaching staff actually maximizing those guys.
Yeah, well, if you're in the position where, you know, it's already not the most talented or deepest day 3 in the world, like, getting those extra, you know, swings at the plate is just important in a type of draft like that as well, right? Because you want to take as many chances on, you know, finding a contributor as possible. So there's 2 different ways to kind of look at it. You can either view it as, like, we're looking to trade up to get a guy that we feel pretty good is going to contribute, or you take a swing on a few players that you think, you know, could have chances to kind of hit, right? So that's always a fun discussion to kind of have in terms of how do you approach day 3 this year, right? Because it's like you said, it is not, like, when I get to the 4th round in a lot of these mock drafts, I really do struggle. I really do. You know, there are a couple positions that I want to address, and a couple players that I like here and there, but sometimes they don't make it to you, and sometimes the value just isn't there, right? So that just makes things all the more interesting. But for us here, a lot of fun today, a lot of fun kind of putting these mock drafts together and analyzing these things. For all of our listeners that are out there today, make sure to like, rate, and review our podcast here for Picks for Pulse on the Bear Report Podcast Network. Make sure to follow us on social media as well, at Picks for Pulse. Like I said, we're probably going to post these mock drafts on Twitter. So if you guys want to vote on those and give your thoughts on our selections, make sure to do that there when we eventually release this episode. You say, where can our listeners find your work now, and find you on social media?
Yeah, guys, you can follow my work on the Beer Report website. Check me out on Twitter at Usaid Koshal. Again, you know, just check out all the scouting reports I've been doing. Be sure that you are following the Picks for Polls podcast as well. Check out the roundtable that we did with, you know, Zach Pearson and Aaron Lemming. And then I'll have a 10 teams that could potentially trade up to the 9th overall pick article dropping sometime over the next couple days.
Yeah, absolutely. As for me, you can find me on the Beer Report as well. You can find my work there. You can find me on Twitter at AJFreeman25. You know, over the next week, you know, we're going to have a couple episodes coming out for the podcast. You know, our first round mock draft for all 32 NFL teams is going to come up. We're going to do a draft preview episode. And we're going to have some stuff planned, hopefully, for the NFL draft when that kicks off as well. In terms of, you know, some of my work on the website, you know, I'm hoping to get one more mock draft in there. I'm hoping to get one more mock draft on the YouTube channel as well for the Bear Reports. So make sure to like and subscribe there as well. But that's going to do it for us here today, Bears fans. Make sure to check out all those work that we got going on the Bear Report with the draft coming up here. It's a week away. Just really excited to get to it now that it's really coming to fruition here. But until next time, Bears fans, have yourself a great rest of your week and bear down.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.